You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and also with Harriet Johnson. And now, talking about the evolution of the universe, well, now let's talk about the evolution of humans. Hannah has been finding out if we're still evolving.
This week, we get the cogs turning.
Hello, Naked Scientist. I'm Stefan from Switzerland, and I was wondering about human microevolution. Birds and insects are changing their patterns to cope with climate change. But what about us? Will we develop stronger index fingers to use with touchscreens or computer mice?
So, are our modern lifestyles directing the way us humans evolve? Over to Robert Foley, Professor of Human Evolution at Cambridge University.
Evolutionary changes usually occur through small genetic shifts, which are then selected for and spread through a population. For humans to evolve significantly in a new direction would take immense selective pressures. Selection like this, fingers coping with touchscreens, is unlikely to be really very strong, and certainly unlikely to be strong enough to spread through such a large population as the human one.
Still concerned about the speed of natural selection and my digits, I dial up John Amauer, Professor of Human Genetics at Nottingham University.
Spreading genes by natural selection is incredibly slow. It's a generation-by-generation process, but it's effective. Humans, because we have ideas and communication, we can spread ideas and technologies and tricks, if you like, much, much faster than we can spread genes. And, of course, we can spread ideas to people we're not related to, where genes, by natural selection, can only be passed on to descendants. So I think the answer is that engineering, the market, will fix a new touchscreen pad that is easier for human beings, as opposed to human beings evolving to adapt to the touchscreen pad.
And on Facebook, Gerald McMullen comments that technology changes too fast and natural selection too slowly to make any advantage apparent. Back to Robert Foley for this word of caution.
Having said that, there are possible ways in which things will change. As we use computers more and more, it may not affect the muscular physiology or skeletal biology of humans, but it could well affect the way our brains are wired, particularly as these often develop interactively with the environment in which we grow and develop.
We next crunch into some data. A tantalisingly anonymous listener from Whittlesford, Cambridgeshire, got in touch asking,
what I was wondering is, if the human genome contains 750 megabytes of storage, and 90% is roughly the same as a banana, then why does my PC operating system need 1 gigabyte?
So, human cells contain data in the form of DNA, and this data acts as a blueprint or set of instructions to allow our brain and body to work properly. But why does your standard PC need more data storage than one of us?
If you can help Hannah, then please send your thoughts, comments or questions to chris@thenakedscientist.com. You can also find The Naked Scientist Question of the Week on our website, nakedscientist.com/forum. There's a Question of the Week thread there, or you can tweet your answers to @nakedscientists. Right, we asked you at the beginning of the show, what proportion of countries drive on the left or the right side of the road? Depending on which way you interpret it, you can tell us the answer. Chris McManus knows this because it's in his book. Chris, what proportion of people drive legally on the right and what proportion on the left?
It depends whether you do people or countries. There's more countries that drive on the right, but by the time you take over the populations, about 2/3 of the world drives on the right and about 1/3 of the world drives on the left.
Not at the same time, and not following Stephen's suggestion to have the lorries on the right and the cars on the left to speed things up.
That's right.
That would be bad. Thank you, Chris. That's it for this week. Thank you to our guests who contributed: Jeff Booker, Melinda Dewar, Scott Thomas, Joanne Yu, Chris McManus, Stephen Driver and Ben Alanak. Thank you also to Harriet Johnson from the Genetic Society's internship scheme for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you here, Harriet. And do join us next time when we're going to be charging up our batteries. We'll look at energy storage solutions on next week's programme. The Naked Scientist comes to you from Cambridge University. We're supported by the Wellcome Trust, the STFC and the EPSRC. My name's Chris Smith, and thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.